Sportscast, December 3rd, 2022. This is the World Cup coverage. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. And if you're listening on your podcast directory, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, you can visit our website, thesportscast.net, for the latest on the World Cup and other sports. And you can download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. The Netherlands beat the United States 3-1 in the World Cup round of 16. The USA is out. Tough loss. But join us all the way up in Northeast United States, Hal Phillips, author of Generation Zero. Welcome back to The Sportscast.
Thanks for having me, Santi. I'm staring out at South Twin Lake in beautiful Millinocket, Maine, way up in Maine today. So I'm glad that the phone line is holding out.
Do you think you might be the only guy in that area that watched the game today?
Not the case. I watched it with two dozen people in the Blue Ox pub. It was a spirited and lively group. And at 2-1 in the second half, things got even sort of positive, but that didn't last long enough, I'm afraid.
Well, the game was from off the start. Christian Pulisic, in the beginning and in the early part of the game, had an opportunity to go ahead, but blocked by the keeper. But in the 10th minute, Memphis Depay scored early in a tactical play. Some say is put together by LVG. Uncovered, which almost, I mean, pretty much all the goals that were scored by Holland, they were unmarked. All the strikers were unmarked. Your thoughts over the match, Hal Phillips?
Well, I'm struggling to sort of process exactly how tired our guys were. It's possible that the first goal and the second goal were the result of fatigue. I don't think I've ever seen Tyler Adams trailing striker Ty was on that first goal by so much. He didn't even seem to by the fact that he was trailing him by ever. It's usually Tyler Adams overtakes a fellow like that or gets back in, but it seemed remarkably casual, especially for so early game. So that goal was more or less given away because we just didn't try to go through the midfield into the box. A striker, no less. That was a bummer. And the second goal was almost a carbon copy. And at that point, who was recalcitrant in his mind? I'm not sure what reasons were for this, Santi. In terms of the tracking, it just wasn't there. But on the other hand, we weren't in a game like this all tournament that we controlled with, you know, a surety. So for so long, and another team tried to counter us with some vigor. The English really didn't have that opportunity. The Dutch did it today with such efficiency. It was pretty impressive to see them, you know, basically just pick off two goals and the only two scoring chances they had in the first half. And that just took all the life out of this team. It was sad to watch. And I'm trying to struggle. I'm struggling with just how much they toyed with us and whether they were just fortunate. I mean, what was your take?
Yeah, we look pretty tired. I really do think the Iran match really got us out of it. Louis van Gaal, we can't forget about him. Very tactful, very experienced manager in world football, coach for Manchester United. He did coach Holland a couple years ago as well. And he had a young squad he can work with. And he pretty much he exposed our backline, Hal. He really did, and we had no answers. And the worst part, we were not able to handle them, to catch up from it, and also learn from that.
I think that's fair. I don't feel like Tim and Walker Zimmerman in the middle of the field were caught out. As people like to say, I do feel like on the first goal, Tyler Adams had to be tracking back closer than that. That's a striker running down the middle of the field on a slow developing play, a counterattack with a whole lot of quickness to it. That was unfortunate. These things happen. And so early in the match, it's hard to say that Tyler Adams was tired. And in fact, I don't think I've ever seen Tyler look tired, especially so early in a match. Later in the match, later in the first half, I think you can say that was a bit knackered and couldn't track back the way he should have. It's difficult, Santi, to pin anything on this group. They've played very well. But I think that we talked about this last time. You have three generals in midfield, and then you have Robinson and Dest on either side of them. That is this team in a nutshell. The two center backs are what they are. The three attackers above them are what they are. But the heart of that team is those five guys. And they have put out an extraordinary amount of mileage in this tournament. And it could be that we just ran into fatigue against a very good team. But I will submit that Holland never looked troubled by us. That might have changed things in the first 10 minutes if Pulisic had managed to slip it by the keeper, but he did not. And from that point forward, they just waited around for us to exhaust ourselves and then countered effectively. And they did twice in the first half. And when we, pulled the goal back, went out and scored within 5 minutes. So I'm afraid we were a bit toyed with today, and it feels not great.
Yeah, two early goals by Memphis Depay and Daley Blind, the veteran of Holland. And halftime, it was 2-0. And then at the second half, around it was the 76th minute, a little bit in the middle of the second half, Haji Wright luckily scored. The ball hit his foot, I will have to say, and gave us some hope there. Was 2-1. Your thoughts over that moment?
For the majority of this match, you actually created chances and looked dangerous in our own way. We did it in a deliberate fashion because the Dutch sat back and let us come at them. But we were able to get the ball into the box. We were able to generate 1-2s on the top of each corner of the box and at that defense, on the development. And they had a chance to score goals before Haji Wright scored the goal. So it wasn't like we were blown out. And when Haji did score that goal, there was real hope. But almost immediately, they came back and scored a goal where our defense was misshapen. At that point, we're throwing people forward. We are subbing on people who aren't defenders for defenders. And at that point in the game, I cannot blame anybody in the defensive core. Not Ream, not Zimmerman, not Robinson. I can't blame any of those people for being because they have not come off in this entire tournament. And they have sold out trying to get back into this game. Finally did. And Stump was left alone coming in from the outside. It was interesting to point out that all of these goals were scored by trailing attackers. In the moment, U.S. defense was able to lock up or mark people on the ball in dangerous positions. But the midfield and the flanking players were responsible to trail back and mark people who were coming late to the play. Well, just didn't happen today. I can't say that it happened over and over. I know it happened three times, and every time the Dutch converted. This is a veteran team. They didn't make any mistakes. We're not a veteran team. We had plenty of opportunities to match those three goals, and we didn't get it done. We were beaten by a better team today.
You hit the right word, flanks. How Louis van Gaal was just quoted a few minutes ago, says USA didn't adapt. They didn't adjust. We made our tactical plan based on targeting the flanks.
I'd love to know more, because I think that Dest and Robinson are prime targets for that kind of tactical move because they are so aggressive in their own right going forward. And that certainly wasn't the case on the first goal, but Blind did beat Robinson on the second goal. And it's one thing to be, targeting the flanks and exploiting them. But once that ball's crossed in, you have to have a unit defending as a group and following everyone back into the box. And on the first two goals, that just didn't happen. The third goal, Dumfries' goal, that came from a wide position. The ball was played on, and they just had more attackers in the box than there were defenders. It's late in the game. The U.S. was all pressed forward. They were exhausted. I have a little bit more understanding and sympathy for the lads on that goal. But yeah, give it to Van Gaal. They never. I mean, you tell me, Santi. That team that we played today never looked troubled. We controlled the entire first half of that game. We certainly, they didn't touch the ball for the first 4 minutes of the game, but they don't mind. A team that is confident in its abilities to counter attack, you know, when they feel like it, they don't care about that kind of pressure. And as it turned out, it didn't bother them in the least. That second goal, the one right before halftime, really took the wind out of the American sails. I think that if we got to halftime 1-0, we would have felt a little different. But you know what? I think if they hadn't been two goals down, I'm not sure that Berhalter would have brought on Reyna on the number nine spot. Finally, something that they steadfastly refused to do until this very, very late point in the tournament. Once he did that, then he just opens himself up to questions as to why didn't you do this before? Poor Jesus Ferreira. Did he get a touch in the first half? I don't remember one.
I'm not sure, but he got a 6.2 rating on Hot Mob. I don't see, I personally did not see any action from his end. Ball possession, as you mentioned, we had a lot more. We had 58% to their 42%. So we definitely had more touch in the ball. Dumfries' goal came a little bit later towards the end of the match. It was the 70. Hold on, 1 6. The 81st minute, and he was wide open. Blind, another key figure of this Netherlands squad, had a precise cross from the left with a control volley on the opposite side of the box, and Dumfries scored in the left corner of the goal. The big question mark, you mentioned Gio Reyna went in for Jesus Ferreira. I've been hearing commentating for the past hour how Fox, also SiriusXM, and the main point that I've been hearing, we need a striker. We need to figure out the striker by 2026. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't disagree with them, but that's not the reason we lost this game today. We were outclassed all over the field. We never attacked the Dutch centrally. We never tried to play in behind Virgil van Dijk, who at 32 years old is an imperious figure, but not the physical fleet figure that he has been for the last 5 years. We never got the ball in a position centrally to 1-2 behind him in on goal. It was all to the corners of the box, and it wasn't ineffective. But you know, that's what a number nine does. He runs in the channels, and certainly Ferreira did not do that. We lost this game for two reasons. We were not defensively smart enough, and we did not defensively make enough of an effort to track their attackers back. If those two goals were taken off the board because we actually tracked back and we won't go to halftime 0-0, no one's talking about our number nine. So I guess I don't agree with that. I think in the long term, of course, we need a more potent attack, and maybe Reyna is that guy, but that's not the reason we lost today. I think more generally, the reason we didn't defend the way we had defended for the first three games of this match, of this tournament, I should say, is that we relied on basically a five-man unit, the three midfielders and two flanking fullbacks, to basically be both our offensive engine and our defensive, fortress. And they wore out. And when we tried to sub in people earlier in this tournament, that entire structure fell apart. Whenever Acosta came on for McKinney, we just couldn't get anything done. It didn't matter so much in this game because we were already behind and we were throwing all sorts of bodies forward. I can't say enough about the job that Tim Ream and Zimmerman and Carter Vickers did in the last game. They were tremendous. These center backs rarely put a foot wrong. And I refuse to pick on Robinson and Dest because so much was asked of them and the three midfielders to basically get the ball forward and beat everyone's press and defend. They ran out of gas in this game. And when Tyler Adams is running out of gas so early in the game, that is a tired midfield because that's the fittest man on the field.
Precisely. Let me name you the subs, tell you the subs, Sergio. Giovanni Reyna went in for Jesus Ferreira in the 46th minute. 67th minute, Brendan Aaronson came in for Timothy Weah. I think Aaronson had a great game. Haji Wright came in for Weston McKennie at the 67th minute. And DeAndre Yedlin, who did not come in since the England match, came in for Sergiño Dest. And then finally, Jordan Morris came in for Anthony Robinson in the 92nd minute in injury time. You know, we lost. It is what it is. We got another 4 years. But overall, what were your thoughts over the U.S. in this tournament? Did it meet your expectations, or did it exceed, or did it underperform?
I think they met my expectations. I think they should have met everyone's expectations. This is a very young team. They performed very, very well. What were we worried about going into this tournament? We were worried about Tim Ream, Walker Zimmerman, Aaron Long, and Cameron Carter-Vickers. That turned out to be not an issue at all. What else were we worried about? We were worried about attack. And yes, over the first two games, we really didn't do enough attacking. We didn't create enough scoring opportunities. I thought on balance, this team was plenty dangerous enough, not only to get through the group, but to win this game if they had converted their chances and we hadn't surrendered such cheap chances. You said something about what did Aaronson's rating look like? I'm not picking on Brendan Aaronson, but I didn't think he was any good today. He was never dangerous. He looked hurried and harried. He never looked comfortable on the ball. I thought Reyna did what we know he can do. He held it. He looked around. He carried it. He controlled it well with his back to goal. I would love to have seen him in the nine position for longer. I think that Berhalter is so addicted to this idea of having a point forward as the point of the spear of those three strikers, if you will, that he chose not to adjust his approach to the talent that he has. Reyna is a perfect withdrawn number nine, who's playing essentially behind two strikers like Pulisic and Weah. Let them do the chasing and have him sit back and orchestrate a little bit more facing the goal. I'm not disappointed in this group at all. They're extraordinarily young. I think we keep forgetting just how young they are. What they really need are some people who can come in and take over in the last half an hour of a game when one of those three midfielders, potentially two, because we ask so much of them, come in and carry on the momentum that has been established. We don't have that person right now. Acosta is not that person. Brendan Aaronson, although he's a bit of a darling, is not that person. We need more midfielders that can take over, for someone else like McKennie and continue the good play, the forward-looking play. We don't have that person. And, a lot of national teams don't. A lot of the drop-off when you see guys come in the middle of the field for national teams of quality aren't as good as the starters. That's almost a definitional situation. But what they do is they amend their tactics when they make those adjustments. They don't just say, hey, you should be Weston McKennie now that he's gone off. No one can be Weston McKennie. Kellen Costa isn't as good as Weston McKennie, but that doesn't mean you can't change the shape of your midfield to accommodate the fact that now Costa, who is a more deep-lying player, has come on for a more forward-looking player. I didn't see that kind of tactical awareness from Berhalter's approach, and that can be improved upon. All of this can be improved upon, but that doesn't mean that I'm ashamed of the results today or the performance in this tournament. I thought they were great. I think they showed the world that America has a coming team that is going to be a force to be reckoned with in 2026 and for the next 4 years in between. I just hope everyone keeps going abroad and playing in the best leagues where they're going to get tactical education and tempering and grooming that they're not going to get if they are in MLS, frankly. And this is, I think, a big difference in why this group is so capable.
Al, great take on that. Really great take on that. And analysis on that was really precise. 6.3 rating by Brendan Aaronson, lower than I thought. What I thought, the U.S. met my expectations. I think getting out of the group was great. I think that was like the goal for the U.S. team. I think we've gone far these past 4 years, Hal. from not being qualified for 2018, losing against Trinidad, and then coming back, winning like the Gold Cup and the CONCACAF Nations League was fantastic. And then getting out of the group, I was kind of doubtful. I was like, I don't know if we can, but we did. A really tough group. And I really thought we were going to beat Holland, to be honest, today. That didn't happen. But hey, Holland, this is, give them credit. This was their best match, I thought, of all the tournament, the whole tournament.
Well, it's really interesting to see what the Dutch asked of themselves and of the United States today. We had a team sit back on us against England. They really did not attack us. They were content to let us have the ball and come at them. And for much of that match, pretty much the middle 65, 70 minutes of that match, they couldn't do anything when they tried to counter us. We had them very well bottled up. That was an impressive performance, even if we did not score a goal. Today, the Dutch did much the same thing. They let them, they let the Americans come at them. They let us have the ball, and we were dangerous. We had chances to score, not just that first attempt by Pulisic in the first 10 minutes, but all through the first half, there were opportunities. We didn't convert any of them, as we did not against England. The difference today was that we gave up two counter goals that weren't lightning strikes where the striker went in and by himself to convert against Turner. They were mid-speed counters where balls were taken to the end line and crossed backward to a trailing striker who, in every single case at this level, must be marked. We have four defenders, plus Adams in the middle of the park sitting on top of that four. You just have to mark those people. Dest was the man who didn't catch up and mark properly on the second goal. That was the difference today. And you have to live with that. Those are mistakes that young teams make. But I know they were tired, but there's no way Tyler Adams was so fatigued 10 minutes into this game that he could not or did not realize that he needed to be ball side of Memphis Depay. So that's on him. And I love Tyler Adams. I wouldn't trade him for any number five or number six in the world right now. I can't wait to see how he progresses as a player. But that was not his finest moment.
Yeah, totally understood. This experience is going to help him a lot. Most of his team are under 25. So by the time 26 World Cup comes around, they're going to be, hopefully be ready by then a little bit more and definitely perform in front of our home crowd. Looking forward to this U.S. team. And I'm glad, you know, most of the team will be back. Probably, I would say Tim Ream will probably be the only exception, but he helped us a whole lot, and hopefully we'll learn from it. And we got to be more challenged. We got to compete. Hopefully, we'll get into a Copa America if they're going to open up to a little bit more to the CONCACAF teams. Love to compete there and just get more matchups. And keep in mind how, like, during this COVID era, we didn't play much with European squads. It was all pretty much domestic. So, you know, maybe this time around we'll have more competition.
Well, it's interesting. It's part of our maturity as a footballing nation that we have to deal with the issues of the FIFA calendar. It's very difficult to pull guys back from Europe to play domestic competitions like the Copa, if we are invited, like the Nations League. That's why we have MLS to stock those teams when it's not possible. But we can see how much it asks of someone like Pulisic to come back and show up for every last friendly and every last domestic competition, you know, or international staged domestically. It's a big ask for these guys to do all that travel. And I think we have another window into just how much is asked of these world-class footballers, you know, to keep up with all these dates that FIFA arranges for. And that now in these nations leagues, I mean, that's a brand new competition that simply did not exist 3 years ago. Huge amounts of time. On the one hand, it's very useful to get quality games for your national team, especially if you're in CONCACAF. So in that sense, it's welcome. But in the other sense, it's asking a lot of young players who are still trying to make their own impressions on their clubs and to come back and serve their country. You know, at center back, Tim Ream was God, he was so good. Really never put a foot wrong. And not a huge guy either, and did great in the air. Just really, my hat's off to him. I'm so glad that he got a chance to play. But that position isn't a problem spot for the U.S. Chris Richards, who plays at Crystal Palace, was hurt. He's a world-class player. I have no problem slotting him in for the next 3 years. And let's not forget Miles Robinson with Atlanta United. I thought he was a tremendous center back prospect. Was definitely going to start in this World Cup if he didn't hurt his Achilles. I hope he recovers fully. So he's another option there. They have a lot of options. The one thing that separates this team, Santi, from every team that came before it is that midfield three. And it really is our own expectation now that we either have to manage or tactically work around, because when Musa comes off, when McKenny comes off, we have to find a way to be as good in a different way, maybe, but as good as we were the hour before with that midfield trio in, you know, intact. When you sub those guys out, you can't take such a hit in quality. It didn't show today because we were frantically going forward the entire time. But that's what the challenge will be for this team and for Berhalter or whomever is coaching this team going forward. It's going to be very interesting to see if they keep him. It's tough to coach two cycles in a row.
I was going to ask you that. Do you think we should have that conversation now, or let's wait a few weeks? Or do you think Berhalter should be out, or maybe get someone else?
I don't think that Berhalter should be out. I don't think that the Federation or Berhalter should listen to soccer Twitter and these idiots who called for his ouster every time Gio Reyna didn't play enough minutes. It was a ridiculous conversation and showed off the immaturity of our nation in the soccer context. But I think if Berhalter has a brain in his head, he will step aside, because I think next 4 years are going to be very, very difficult to follow on. For a guy like himself, he should take this performance, which I think was very good, and see if he can get himself a job, you know, abroad or maybe back in MLS, and give someone else a chance. On the other hand, he's probably looking at this as the opportunity of a lifetime to coach this team in 2026 at home, where they really could do some great things. I think if he's smart, he won't push that, because two cycles is too many for World Cup coaches. They very rarely do it, unless we're talking about Croatia, where that guy has been there forever. And I think he coaches elsewhere. It's not a full-time job, but I could be wrong. I don't know what's going to happen, Santi. I don't really want Berhalter there for 2026. I think he's done a great job, but we've seen the limitations of his tactics and his substitution, and I'm not sure that we can afford to grow with him in that way. But the Federation certainly can't be disappointed with the way this team performed and the way he led them. And I guess we're obliged to point out that when he did take over this team, they were a bit of a mess. He should be given credit for blooding 40 guys. 40 players have been introduced to the national team during his tenure. That's an extraordinary amount of players to get time, like serious time. And he played them fearlessly during the hex. And he should be given credit for all these things, but that doesn't mean that you get to coach the national team for 8 years on the trot.
I agree, Hal, very much. If it does, I mean, if he doesn't get his contract extended, I don't mind either. If it does, then it is what it is. But I think he did a good job. You were saying, we've gone far since 2018. It was kind of messy back then. Klinsmann leaving, and then having Bruce Arena come in and just starting from scratch, because we were leaving like the Landon Donovan era, Clint Dempsey, and starting from scratch. And this young squad, I mean, to be honest, you could have said the young squad can't make it into the World Cup, but they did. And they won the Gold Cup and the other competitions, got out of the group. I cannot deny that. I would say, if you asked me, if I had a coaching idea or have someone coach this team, I would say Jesse March, but he's in the middle with Leeds. I understand. But hey, you don't have to hire the guy like tomorrow. You got some time, especially in the international window.
I think, yeah, if you wanted me to predict what would happen, is that he will not step down. They will extend him. And if he's smart, his agent will get guaranteed money. Because 2 years from now, when Jesse March has run his course at Leeds and gets fired, Berhalter's job will, you know, essentially be handed to him or to someone else. They'll wait for Berhalter to make some misstep and change that spot and give Marsh or someone else enough time to shape the team to his liking ahead of 2026. But it would be difficult, I think, for the Federation to take the job away at this point because he's done a good job. He's been a good soldier. He has, again, set this team up for long-term success, breaking so many players into a side. That is not easy to do. And it's not easy to do because national team coaches are always looking after their own ass. You can't just start playing people willy-nilly to get them international competition because if they don't do well, you get fired. Well, he did it anyway, and they still qualified. So he should be given credit for that. But is he optimally the coach for this team, tactically, flexibility-wise, experience-wise, being able to turn a game around like today where they were behind the eight ball? He changed, you know, he made one change. He put Reyna in at center forward. There was no change in structure of that team, none. And we've come to expect that. But I think in many other countries, that would not be tolerated.
Yeah, tactically speaking. I also agree. I think for like international coaches, it should be just one cycle instead of two. Many of those coaches don't succeed after one cycle. Some do okay, but after the first cycle, it's usually not a good scenario there afterwards. Anyways, that is pretty much conclusive. USA out of the World Cup. Netherlands will be playing the winner of Argentina versus Australia. Currently, it's 0-0. What's going to happen there, Hal?
I don't know. We got to get this thing done so I can watch it, Santi. I have no idea.
What's your prediction?
Well, Argentina should win, but Australia has made fools of us all.
True. Well, it's still 0-0, so we'll see what happens. Tomorrow, France versus Poland. Who do you got?
I like France, and I think France is rounding into form. Good teams in this tournament get better as tournaments go on. This was the best game the Dutch played so far, for example. So another example of I'm taking the favored Frenchman. They should do well against Poland, who have not enough punch to keep up.
And then finally, England versus Senegal, the team that we didn't want to play, but maybe we probably hope we did after all.
I would have gladly played Senegal as opposed to the Netherlands, but no one asked me. I like the English in that game too, but Senegal is a very, very good team. They're very athletic. They're going to run at the English, and they're finally going to get a chance to counter a side that runs at them with some real initiative. And I think the British will actually do very well there. They have a lot of great attacking talent. Think about, you know, how, I mean, when we play the English, what did Saka do in that game? Zero. Did Sterling even get a touch? I mean, that's how good defensively we were in that game. And we were just as good in the Iran game. Not today, though, alas, because our defense, which is the last thing anyone worried about going into this game, was not good enough.
Yeah, I think we were out of gas, like Hal said. Hal, what is the best way to reach you online? And also the way that people could get your book, Generation Zero.
Well, Generation Zero is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We haven't talked about it, but I have a really fun companion site for the book. It's at www.genzero.halphillips.net. Do pick the book up. It is the perfect, perfect gift for that soccer freak on your list. The World Cup and the holiday season, they merge this year. People complain about the Winter World Cup. That's true. It's a little awkward, but Generation Zero would be a great gift for everyone on your list. The paperback fits neatly into any stocking, Santi.
That too. That's a good point. Also, you can reach us at thesportscast.net and our Twitter, thesportscast1. Prayers to Pelé. He is on in a intensive care unit. So hopefully he'll do well and doesn't, hopefully he doesn't leave us this soon.
I heard that he had gone into the hospital. Is the prognosis not good?
It's gotten worse.
Oh no.
So hopefully.
Well, yeah. That's when we actually say thoughts and prayers and we mean it.
Yeah, absolutely. And interesting timing with the World Cup. But anyways, that is our recap of the USA versus Netherlands 3-1 defeat for the Americans. But hey, World Cup continues. The sky hasn't fallen yet, Hal, but thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
My pleasure, Santi. There's still the quarterfinals. They will make us feel better.
Exactly. The World Cup continues on. And this was your World Cup coverage.